Hey, Jeff here. If you like the podcast, you might dig this. Dan Hodgins is going to join Lisa Murphy and I for 3 gigs in 2018. We're going to be in Portland, Oregon, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Madison, Wisconsin. We're calling it the Talking Play Tour because that's what we're going to be doing, talk and play. You can learn more at playvolutionhq.com/events. Hope to see you there.
Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio. Oh, that's not true. We're here by the pond again.
Lisa Pondcasting.
Pondcasting. Lisa Murphy's with me.
Hello.
Tasha John. Oh, she's not here. She'll be back.
She's AWOL.
Yeah, she's dealing with something, I guess. She'll be back soon. I think she'll join us. What are we talking about, Lisa?
We are continuing our series where we're exploring the 16 play types as identified by Mr. Bob Hughes in his book, A Playworker's Taxonomy of Play Types.
And I believe we're moving on to
creative play.
This time. And so what's Bob's definition of creative play?
Play, which allows a new response, the transformation of information, awareness of new connections with an element of surprise. It allows children to design, explore, try out new ideas, and use their imagination. They can use lots of different props, tools, equipment. It can have a beginning, an end, texture, and smell. For example, enjoying creation with a range of materials and tools for its own sake. Self-expression through any medium, making things, changing things. So when I was making my own chicken scratch notes, right, when the very first time I read this, I wrote, this is your art, this is your clay, this is your Legos, this is your mud, this is your Play-Doh.
This is your process over product.
Yes, yes.
I like for its own sake.
Yes, yes,
just the,
yes.
The doing of the thing is the important part, is what I get out of that.
Yes, and lots of different props and tools, different textures, different smells. So I probably could even include sensory tub materials mm-hmm. in this, watching things change.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So that was a kind of a longer definition than
yes.
some of them. Let's pull it apart a little bit.
Play, which allows a new response, the transformation of information, the awareness of new connections, and with an element of surprise. So my brain, I can see in my mind's eye a kid realizing in real time at the easel that blue and yellow mm-hmm. makes green, like that.
Yeah.
Mixing together flour and salt and water and putting it to some heat now makes Play-Doh.
Just the reaction of the vinegar and the baking soda, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's that those kind of little aha moments.
Yes. I like that element of surprise. Creative play allows children to design, explore, try out new ideas, and use their imagination. So creative play could also be sociodramatic play.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, because there's a lot of the narrative they're creating in that play, the story that they're telling can
using their imagination,
yeah.
trying out new ideas, using props, tools, and equipment.
So this is loose parts play?
Definitely the props, tools, equipment. Creating with a range of materials for its own sake. Self-expression through any medium, making things, changing things. So most definitely.
This is the apparently grandbaby's disappeared.
We're just grandbaby has disappeared.
Just got some hand signals from her dad, her daddy looking for her. So it's about bedtime for
that's
grandbaby.
That's why I got quiet. So that's why that was the quiet there, in case you were wondering. yeah, I think your art. I don't know. I don't want to overthink a lot of this stuff. I think this one might be pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, I mean, creative play is I mean, it's pretty much what you think it is.
Yeah.
When you think creative play, there's not a lot of complicated nuance in this, and yet we don't always. I mean, because a topic that keeps coming up for episodes is process over product and art and crafts and this kind of stuff, and we continue to see in programs and on the Pinterest all the cookie cutter projects and everything. And so we can talk about this being a pretty straightforward thing, but in reality, as it's implemented,
facilitating it can still be tricky.
Well, apparently, because I mean, programs aren't. There are plenty of programs out there that are calling themselves play-based but aren't allowing the kind of creative play that is described in that definition.
To the full definition, exactly. And so you've talked in the last few episodes where we've been unpacking the play types as to what we need to do to facilitate
it,
to encourage it,
how do we make this happen?
Well, you need stuff. And time. And we're back to the same two things. And Tasha's right
Hello,
now.
I'm back.
And again, for adults to see that what might look like mucking around has a higher purpose. What? You're making that face.
I don't know. It just sounds so uncomplicated. It sounds like something that should be pretty easy to do and pretty straight. The necessity seems pretty straightforward. I mean, we can understand why this is important, and the process of how to implement it seems pretty straightforward, and yet we struggle with...
Still have done 99 podcast episodes on process versus product.
We struggle with all the cute paper plate bullshit that you can make on Pinterest.
Well, but maybe that is evidence of one of, like, this is like the tip of the iceberg issue where, you know, we think we're talking about process versus product, but really it's more of a representative of a bigger problem, which is that we maybe have a talent pool, people in the field who in their gut know that they should be doing this, but they have given up their power to somebody who doesn't know any better, and so now they're in a place where they think they have to compromise best practice in order to keep somebody happy who is potentially never there, who maybe doesn't know about this kind of stuff. So I'm worried that if somebody walks in and, you know, kids are building with Legos and directing some kind of dramatic play
and they're being creative,
that somehow that's not enough. And so I don't know. I'm at a loss for words.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But where did it come from? And Dan brought this up when we did the 50 Shades event in Minnesota. Where did it come from that you thought that? You know, can we get back to where we drank the Kool-Aid?
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe start to reconcile the differences between what we say we believe in, yet what we find ourselves actually putting into practice? Mm-hmm. Play-Doh should be out every single day. Clay needs to be available. Easel should be out all the time. All these opportunities for creative self-expression, music, dance, drama. I mean, those are like, to me, the foundational elements of being a kid is to have opportunities for that, to play in the mud. And
the blocks should be out every day.
All of the stuff that I see becoming special treats, or only if I'm in a good mood, or once we get through the work, then we can have your dessert after you eat your dinner. And that's just so opposite of what we know needs to be happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
And let's spend a little bit of time on how these other kinds of play that we've discussed so far can also be creative. The symbolic play, symbolic play is almost for kids is also almost the beginning of creativity, kind of because to be able to put different ideas together, symbolism is kind of necessary for that.
Well,
isn't
and
it?
It's implying that they're starting to use their imagination and thinking a little outside of the box, which is, I mean, it says right here in the definition that creative play, trying out new ideas and using their imagination to design, to explore, using lots of different props, tools, and equipment.
And we spent a big hunk of time on the rough and tumble, but I'd like to throw this out there too for people that are still trying to ease their way into it. Is and when you see this going on, try to step back a little bit and look at the look at the narrative, look at the story that they're telling in that kind of play, because there is usually a creative, sociodramatic element to it that we tend to drift
overlook.
Over, we overlook because of the icky parts that we don't like.
Well, what's that saying of trying to see beyond the behavior for a minute?
Yeah. I mean, it's to paraphrase our buddy Heather, seeing past beyond the cute. We got to see beyond the ick. In those situations, see beyond the bits of it that you don't like to get to the valuable nougaty center underneath.
Nougaty center.
Nougaty center.
Well, and I think most people haven't, when they were growing up, didn't experience the more rough and tumble play either. So it's
hard to make room for it because you didn't
other things that are happening in that moment too.
And then it's hard to make room for the creative play when you were never allowed to be creative. I mean, you can't.
If you never played in the mud, you're gonna have a hard time facilitating playing in the mud.
If all you made was fucking
paper plate
fish, in crafts, and I mean, if that's your experience with our quote unquote scare quotes art. That's what you're gonna create.
It's very true. Well, sociodramatic play, I think, leads right into this. I mean, when kids are pretending to be something else,
yeah,
they're definitely coming from a place of creativity.
So what's the thing that makes sociodramatic and creative play different?
Per the definition. This is the sociodramatic play is the enactment of real and potential experiences of intense personal, social, domestic nature, playing at house, going to the show. I mean, it is imaginative play, right? But it requires a level of creativity. Play which allows a new response, the transformation of information, awareness of new connections with an element of surprise. Maybe surprise is the key word. So maybe if you're acting something out in the dress-up area and somebody throws you like a plot twist.
as may or may not happen in some of our role-playing here.
I think that's a good example. I mean, they're not mutually exclusive, right? It's not like, oh, now the social dramatic play has turned into creative play.
Yeah, and so the creative play doesn't have to be sociodramatic, but it can be sociodramatic.
What?
Creative play. I mean, the creative play doesn't have to have that social dramatic element.
No,
to it.
I think playing with the Play-Doh.
Yeah. So it
can stand alone, uh-huh. And you can see elements of it in the other ones we've talked about.
This is awesome.
No, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight.
I'll be like, wait, we should have done this. I could have said this.
What number are we on? This is four or
this
five?
Is this is five. We have 16. Man, we have 11 more to go.
We're such nerds. What else do we need to know about this one?
Again, I think there's room for thinking about it, but I don't think we need to overthink
it. About it.
Make it complicated.
Yeah.
And So where's the struggle? The struggle for people on this is that if you didn't experience it, it's hard to do it. The struggle can be lack of resources.
Yeah, scarcity syndrome. I was given one ream of paper for an entire year.
Uh-huh.
Oh, there's only the good paint is only allowed during the holidays, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
Some of those weird
things.
We got to save the rules. Some of the stupid rules that people have told us.
Can't get the green out until at least until after Thanksgiving. Otherwise,
no,
you're
not
until
St. Patrick's Day. Oh, yeah, well. Right. Or yeah, Christmas. You got to save the green for Christmas.
Yeah, maybe you'll have some left over the holidays.
St. Patrick's.
And
yeah.
So what? Those are struggles. What I just try to. I like to think about the sticking points. For people, and so those are going to be it. Time is always a thing because we feel so rushed. I think it's easier to gravitate towards the death march of the cookie cutter projects because that gives you something to stick in the backpack. I mean, it would be easier to support creative play if we
valued creativity.
If we valued creativity, or even if we devalued the importance of having some damn thing to send home in their backpack at the end of the day. If we turned off the tap for the necessity for that stuff, it would free up time and resources for them to be truly creative.
True, but then that also implies that you have adults who feel if asked what's going on here, and the response was the children are deepening you know, their creative self-expression, that's a worthy response.
That's worth.
That there doesn't have to be anything more than that.
And you mean that's not always the case?
Not if your superintendent or your director is somebody who never had the finger paint out.
All right, then. Any more on this one?
I don't think so.
Hey, this has been the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. We'll be back soon with another episode. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sticking us in your ear holes. Thanks for sharing with a friend. Go get creative. Bye-bye.
Aloha.
bye. And we're clear.
God, I missed the beginning. I can say aloha again. That works. Sorry, I was in the bathroom.
That's
okay.
And then
the granddaughter came up. Can you read me a book? Oh, I think we'll both get in trouble for it, but go get one.
's been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.
Oh.
Hey, we need your support to keep the podcasts flowing. Go to explorationsearlylearning.com/support to learn how. One of the big things you can do is shop Amazon with the link we provide. You buy your cat food, you buy your kids' books, you buy whatever it is you buy on Amazon, you pay the regular price. We get a small percentage of it. Everybody wins. A lot of people are doing it. It really supports the shows, and we really appreciate it. Give it a try. Thanks.